Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Field Pass. This is Dan, and I'm joined now by Bobby Betts. Just the two of us today. We have Mikey visiting former Illini and Super Bowl champion Nick Allegretti out in Kansas City. And our boy John is on a date right now.
I'm so glad you said it. I was wondering if you were going to say it, so let's talk about it. Can we blow him up? Can we, like,
yeah,
can
I
we
guess,
talk about this?
I guess he made the trip downtown to go out. I don't know many details. He'll probably fill us in after the fact, so we'll have to inquire about that. But
good.
I do know he was out on the town tonight going on a date. If I'm sounding a little off, I'm under the weather, but I'd say it sound probably better than PJ Fleck after he's been yelling row the boat for, I don't know, 3 hours straight at his team. So,
you know, my wife and her friend at the tailgate came up with a nickname for young John. Did you hear this nickname going around?
I did not hear this nickname.
This is what they called him. I think it's because of the hair. They called him Superman's son. Because he looks like Clark Kent, and he had like the wave going that day.
Oh boy.
And so Superman's son out on a date tonight.
I don't know if I want to cut that, because you know he's going to hear it and he's going to get that ego going.
It'll be good for him.
That's a new one.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. So he's got the whole Clark Kent vibe going on.
In his place, Bobby Betts.
Yes.
Trying to fill the void.
Let's do this.
14.5, Bobby Betts.
I gotta do my stream of consciousness.
I know.
And I don't even know what I'm gonna do. Like, the weird thing is, like, 62 and sunny in Minnesota on November 6th. I don't understand that.
What's going on there?
Like, I was expecting windy and 35, and it's gonna be warmer in Minneapolis than it will be in Champaign tomorrow. By like 8 degrees or something. So I don't understand.
Maybe it's that 1 week we typically get where it's like last of the warm weather is behind us, and then wait, surprise, one more week of, you know, a little bit of a heat stroke here, and then back to the frigid temperatures we're accustomed to. So lucky for you.
Yeah, I just don't know how to feel about this one. So, you know, on one hand, Minnesota's won what, 4 straight?
Yep.
Something like that.
After the loss to Bowling Green.
You know, and in a sense, so sometimes I get this, like, is this really a Minnesota team that can win 5 in a row? Like, if you lost to Bowling Green, like, I don't really see this as that kind of team. Like, they're going to have one of those games soon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm all about the inevitability. But, you know, like, it's coming. It's
the turnover game.
The turnover game is looming. But then again, you know, like, the one thing I just keep slamming into is if we don't have an offense, like, you know, if we can't put up points, it's going to hamstring the next 3 games. We're going to have to fix it in the off season. There's changes coming, all that, you know. If there was at least like just a decent offense, I might think, you know, the defense has been playing well, and Minnesota's not that good. They're not, I don't think they're, I think they'll lose to Wisconsin by 25.
Right.
So I don't think they're that kind of team. So maybe there's a chance tomorrow. But then I just come back to the offense, like, okay, can I picture us putting up 24? I cannot.
Yeah. Okay, which offense shows up? Penn State offense or the Rutgers offense?
Right. And if it's the Rutgers offense, it's just the Rutgers second quarter offense.
Because
we had 200 yards in the second quarter and then like 270 for the game or whatever. So, you know. Yeah, I mean, if defense has been daring us to throw, and if Peters can actually throw, then we would have a decent chance. I don't think this is a crazy good Minnesota team.
Nope.
On the flip side, you know, we've seen one quarter of it, and that's about it. You know, the last 6 weeks of offense. And was that saying that, hey, we've got a little spark, we found something here? Or was that saying, you know, we just, the sun shined on one quarter and it's all going to go back to the way it looked? So, I just don't know. I just don't have a feel for this one. Do you?
Not.
Do you have a vibe here?
No, because I've watched some Minnesota this year, and I've seen them, you know, they got beat by Ohio State, and then they struggled against Miami of Ohio and barely snuck that one out. And then the Bowling Green game I was watching as well when they got beat. But then since then, they've turned it back on and look like a pretty good team. So they're up to number 20 in the country. They're 6-2. It's like, which I've seen more, I guess we've seen more good Minnesota than bad. So my hunch is they'll be, you know, the good team that we've come accustomed to the past few weeks rather than the team that showed up against Bowling Green. But at the same time, it's like they, you know, maybe they have another stinker in them. They're down to their, what, like fourth or fifth running back. They're playing a lot of freshmen at the tailback position. So, I mean, they're very run heavy the past few games. Tanner Morgan's, who feels like he's been there for 15 years, he doesn't even throw the ball very much anymore. He'll throw it, you know, 14 or 15 times, but they haven't really had to the past few weeks because they get these big leads with, you know, their fourth or fifth string guy, and they're running the ball 50 times a game and only throwing it 10 to 15 times. So if they can control the clock like that, I really don't think Illinois is going to have much of a chance.
I've been buried in the basketball preview and other things, so I haven't even watched the line this week. What did the line move very much? Or
I can't tell you. I can tell you right now it is at 14.5 in favor of the boat rowers.
Yeah, I think I heard it at 15 earlier in the week.
Come on, Bobby. Bobby Betts. You're supposed to be on top of this.
I know. Like, I the last 6 weeks, I've had a really good sense of what kind of game it would be. I felt like just going in, like, I think we're a little better than this, or I think, you know, I think we can hang. Maryland won't be as – I know Virginia was bad. Maryland will probably be better. But I just don't have a – I don't know why. Like, I can't – maybe it's my hatred of all things rowing boats, and, like, I don't want to believe that
– You don't like the shirt and tie on the sideline?
I don't like the necton mentality, you know, like all the slogans and the – I just don't go for that stuff. And so maybe I just don't want to believe that that really, really works.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that's my hang up here because it obviously does. but yeah, they just seem to, you know, let's think of other games we've played against Minnesota. When we went there in 2019, let's see. Oh, that's when Peters got hurt early, right? Is that right? Yes. Yeah, that was the first time Peters got hurt. And that game was kind of close until Peters got hurt in the second quarter, like middle of the second quarter. It was like 10-7 or something like that. And then just rolled out of control after that. And then last year, it was kind of a blowout in Champaign. That was the second COVID game where we were missing, you know, 14 players or whatever, but probably didn't matter. So, yeah, they seem to have our number, and, yeah, I guess I don't know. Like, but the only thing is like, are they really going to win 9 games? I don't think this is a 9-win Minnesota team. Doesn't look like it. Doesn't feel like it. You don't lose to Bowling Green and they go 7-2 in the Big Ten. That just doesn't happen.
They do play Iowa, Indiana, and then Wisconsin down the stretch, so that's not – the easiest of tasks. So maybe they don't get to that 9 wins.
Yeah. Where do they play Indiana at?
They play Indiana at Indiana.
So do we start them on a 4-game losing streak tomorrow?
You're asking.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be like 2 a.m. and I won't have written the stream of consciousness yet because I just don't have a feel of what this is going to be. Okay, so let's talk this out then. Can we run the ball? We should be able to somewhat.
Maybe.
Can we throw on them? I doubt it.
Wait, go back to the running the ball thing for a second because Penn State, we ran all over them. Rutgers, who you would have expected to be the team we probably run all over, they came into Champaign and stuffed us pretty heavily on the in the run game. So do you think, do you see more of a Penn State scenario? I mean, I don't even want to say that because Penn State's like an off the charts performance, but do you think we can, you know, do anything in the run game? Because against Rutgers, we hardly did. And I think Minnesota's a better defense than Rutgers, but they just showed them the blueprint.
Yeah, I mean, watching the first quarter of that Rutgers game, like my thought was like if you go back and watch the play that kind of broke it open for the offense in the second quarter, the bomb to Isaiah Williams, you know, the safety is just naturally drifting forward on everything because they're just like, there you won't, like, they just like, throw it right, you won't, no chance, you can't throw it. And so they were just hedging everything. So I feel like, you know, I don't know. That was the first time Peters had shown this season that when they do that, he could say, fine, you're going to single coverage, no safety help anywhere. I can hit some guys.
And there's something to be said for that too, right? Because Peters being able to showcase that he can throw the ball is not going to allow that defense to creep up and stuff the box and do what Rutgers kind of did in the beginning of that game. Right. So maybe.
Yeah. I'm like, even that Casey Washington catch, the one that he juked the guy and went 30 yards. I mean, part of that is he's just singled on one guy and the safety is charging forward. And so like, even stuff like that, you complete the pass. Mm-hmm. You've got like one guy to beat to get a lot of yards kind of thing. You know, like it's more than just, it's easy to pass when they're so heavily, you know, hedging against the run. It's also, when you do complete the passes, you've got room to bust some just because nobody's around. So I don't think Minnesota will. I don't know. Maybe Peters can prove something earlier, this and that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Turnovers.
We already had our turnover game, right? In Robert's world, are we good at least for a few more games before we're due to turn it over again, or what?
I don't know. I mean, we're still positive turnover margin on the year.
Yeah.
How often, like, Illinois Rutgers play a football game and there are no fumbles and no interceptions? That was
weird.
That was a big surprise. Yeah, I just, you know, the thing that has me a little encouraged from what I was doing today was just looking at some of the yard per play stuff. Like in the Rutgers game, Illinois was 6.1 yards per play, Rutgers with 5.0. Now part of that is just Rutgers slowing it down, grinding it out. They have the lead in the fourth quarter. They're, you know, they taking their time on that last drive, trying to either set up the field goal or the touchdown and run as much clock as possible. You know, some of that plays into how they were 35 minutes of possession. But you know, there have been games this year where Illinois has not been dominated in yards per play like the past. Mm-hmm. So Illinois would have, you know, punt a lot and would have a fairly low number of total plays, but the yards per play is pretty good because you're busting some long runs and you're occasionally every now and then hitting some of these passes. So that has me at least encouraged that we're not going to see something like a, you know, like a 2017 blowout game, or even like the Minnesota game last year where it was, wasn't even close. Like, I think they're going to hang. Can they cover 14? I don't know. That feels about right to me. Like,
yep.
Like
same
it
here.
Feels about right that it'll be like a 31-17 or 28-14. Like, it feels like that kind of game.
Come into a stream of consciousness near you.
Yes.
Let me ask you this. When you're in the press box, what are you going to be focusing on tomorrow? Like, what's the key matchup? What are you excited to see tomorrow?
I will be focused on PJ Fleck doing those stupid run to the other end at the end of the quarter thing.
Yep.
I can't not watch it. And like, hate watch it.
John and I have a thing where we're anti holding up the four fingers when it's going to the fourth quarter. We think that's just the stupidest thing. So we disavow any team that holds up four fingers when it's going to the fourth quarter. Yeah. I will say I think Zach Barlev, when it was going to eight overtimes, he held up 5 and 3, so there was no 4 on either hand, so we are completely fine with that. We'll let it slide, but teams that sprint to the other end, teams that throw up the 4 fingers, disavow.
I would like to subscribe to that newsletter. I am fully in on that.
Okay, so PJ Flex sprinting, we're going to hate watch that.
Yes, yes, that's the first thing. That's why I'm here. I came all the way to Minneapolis just to hate watch a coach running in a tie and a quarter zip. God, why do I get so angry? I don't know. I was watching some of the Rutgers game today, and I heard a comment from one of the BTN guys that said something like, what was it? They were talking about, it was Chase Brown had like 200 yards in the one game, 200 yards in the other game, and then like in all the other games combined, like 146 yards or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was this, boomer bust. You know, that's really curious to me of like, what will it take to bell cow Chase Brown? Like to really say, now some of those games, you know, first 3 games, he had the shoulder, he missed 1.5 games. He barely played against Nebraska, re-injured the shoulder, you know, like, so let's say 4 of the 9 games, he wasn't healthy. But, you know, like he was so on against Charlotte and against Penn State, and then just kind of so-so and unable to break some, and, you know, got tackled on the fourth down at Rutgers. So it's like, you know, if there's a key to the game tomorrow, it's how do you unleash that? How do you make that a consistent thing? Where, yeah, he can have 160 yards tomorrow. Of course he can.
Yeah. Barge package.
Yes.
The carnival. What does it cruise package.
What does it take to get to that? Yeah.
Yeah. I guess if you run 7 linemen and a few tight ends and those guys are blocking, he'll get his yards, as we saw against Penn State. But if Minnesota's front, you know, front 4, front 7 are shooting the gaps and, you know, moving those trenches backwards, it's going to be a long day. Yeah. So you're going to rely on Peter's arm.
Well, we should go with you guys do the category stuff and like your picks and all that, or your picks to click and all that stuff. Maybe we should go with that, and then I can get a better sense of like.
Yeah, I have John and Mikey's picks. Theirs? I do.
Okay.
And since we were just talking about Chase Brown, I'll let you know that John is riding Chase Brown this week.
Okay.
Mikey is going for the other twin. And he has Sydney Brown, and Mikey's specific stat of the week is a Sydney Brown club arm pick. So,
wow.
So you can go ahead and just pencil that in right now, because Mikey's
like
hardly
one
wrong.
Hand the pick with the club.
I think
that would be amazing.
I think he might. I don't know. I think he's gonna catch it with his club hand and just talk it away. So write it down.
Well, I mean. What if Mikey had he had a sack and a half for Kearney last week, and then Kearney gets a sack on like the third play. So
Mikey's been, I feel like Mikey's batting like 80% on his specific predictions, which is pretty impressive because he's going for things like, I don't know, like multiple like tip interceptions and strip sacks and stuff like that. So Isaiah Williams yard numbers to like within 1 receiving yard. He's been pretty good. So, I mean, if Mikey says Sydney Brown club interception, then Mikey's going to see a Sydney Brown club interception.
All right.
I am going to go with, I think I'm going to go, I got to go defensive line, because I think Minnesota's going to do what they have been doing and just run the ball all game. So I'm going to go back to a pick I had earlier in the year, who played really well the time I picked him, and that was Rod Perry. So I think if Rod Perry is blowing stuff up in the backfield, I think Illinois' defense is going to have themselves a day. They've been playing well and
like
force Tanner Morgan to throw the ball, because he's not one to tuck and run very often. So if we blow up the run game, Rod Perry's putting a little pressure on him. I think, you know, Tanner Morgan's got like 6 touchdowns and 5 interceptions this year. So if you force him to throw it, he might make some mistakes. If we can get that pressure on him, get him to sail one off his back leg, something like that, then Mikey gets his club interception from Sidney Brown.
I like it.
Do you have a pick?
I do. And it's why I have to talk to Carlos Sandy this week. Because he's been out there as the fourth receiver. You know, the main three are Williams, Washington, and Donnie.
Mm-hmm. Pat Bryant's right there behind as well. It's getting some tick recently. But, yeah, I'd say
Sandy's been Sandy's been the number four guy. Like, he has the fourth most
snaps.
Yeah, on the snap count. So, so I just thought, you know, this guy, he's getting a lot of snaps. He doesn't have the catches that the other guys do. At some point here, they're going to go. I mean, they almost hit that deep ball to him against Charlotte, and just off his fingers. And they've been trying to work him in. You know, they tried him with the little jet sweep last week.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think he's my pick to click.
Okay.
I wanted to talk to him because at some point that kid's going to have a breakthrough.
Yep.
So I'm gonna make it this week. So
right.
my pick to click is Carlos Sandy.
Pig father, Carlos Sandy.
Yes, yes. Hammy Hamilton the pig will be.
Yeah, the father thrilled. Of Hamilton.
Yes. And he'll come home with celebratory orange chicken and give half of it to Hammy.
I like it. Have you noticed Miles Scott has been getting some tick? Yeah. I've seen him in there quite a bit, and I don't know. I presume maybe because of run blocking, but I mean, that's a guy that came out of nowhere that's earned some snaps here recently.
Yeah, some of those are very interesting. So he's, you know, his preferred walk on, but he did a year of prep school. You know, it's one of those kind of like, we're going to probably find more stories like this over the next few years where, like, okay, during COVID, what was he was from where? Thornton High School or something like that?
Yeah, some CPS school.
Yeah, I can't remember. But he ended up going to St. Thomas More, which is the same place where we found that other guy who then decommitted, but that prep school in Connecticut, and did a year there. And so maybe it was grades, and maybe it was just like Illinois is not playing high school, and he went somewhere else to try to get somewhere to play during the COVID year. And everything else. So it's interesting. Like, I want to, you know, he's already worked his way into the rotation. You know, we've been talking about how during COVID, there's going to be like 50 recruits across college football that came out of absolutely nowhere because there were no camps. There were no anything. You just, you know, no one could get discovered over those 18 months where no one, where you couldn't, or 15 months where no recruiting happened.
Right.
So there's going to be guys like that hidden all over the place. Maybe they had grades issues and they got it fixed up at prep school. Maybe they had this, maybe they had that. So that's one I'm really curious to watch because, you know, it's just so hard to get information on anybody who had to go through those 15 months with no recruiting going on.
Yeah. It shows us at the very least that Brett Bielema is not afraid to play a walk-on guy, a freshman at that, that's, you know, proved himself probably in practice and is putting in the work and has impressed people. He's not afraid just because a guy doesn't have a scholarship to throw him out there if he thinks they're ready for it.
Right. So that'll be interesting.
I have an unofficial stat. I was doing a little due diligence on the roster for Minnesota, and my unofficial stat, I think Minnesota might lead the nation in players with double last names. Because their top three receiving threats, I mean, two wide receivers and a tight end. They have Mike Brown Stevens, they have Chris Ottman Bell, and then their tight end, which this is in its own right, it deserves a whole segment. Brevin Span Ford, spelled like Deuce, Ford obviously spelled like Luke, and Brevin is the first name, and that's a tight end. So he's the best of both worlds. You get do span speed
span and Ford one player,
and he's their top tight end target. So their top three receiving threats: Mike Brown Stevens, Chris Ottman Bell, and Brevin Span Ford. And then on the defensive side of the ball, their leading tackler, Mariano Sorimarin. He's out there, and then they have another guy out there. I think he's a linebacker named Micah Dutredway. So they play five guys with double last names. So unofficially, I haven't seen any teams with more than that. I'm just going to go out and say, I think PJ Fleck looks for these guys because they turn into his, you know, top players on both sides of the ball.
I'm trying to think of our last receiver with dual last name. I mean, honestly, the first name that comes to mind. So wide receivers coach George McDonald, when he was a player, back when I was in school, he went by George McDonald Ashford. And so like his jersey said McDonald Ashford during school. And then I guess he just dropped the Ashford and went back to just McDonald. But
did Nike have the contract at that point? Who was making the jerseys back then? Because maybe their contract was we don't have any characters.
I don't think there was a Nike contract yet. I don't think.
Did they have a contract? Or was it just like case by case? You just kind of choose whichever uniform.
Yeah,
like when did those contracts come in?
You know, maybe they did have the Nike contract back then. Gosh, it's 25 years ago. Yeah. I don't really remember. I mean, I remember like the Nike jerseys in the early 2000s, but like I remember when we came out against Missouri in, I think, 2003, we came out in all orange, but like Nike hadn't approved the uniforms. Like we made up our own all orange uniform to play Missouri, and like the Nike people were mad or something like that because the contract called for like, you know, I think our pants were a little mismatched from the jerseys because they were from a former jersey set of the pants.
We were just
like
picking and choosing from different years' jerseys and
just mix
and matching. Kind of thing. As far as you can remember, have we always been Nike?
Yes. Okay. Yes. I don't recall anything before that. I just don't know when that happened, when apparel contracts started.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like in like 1991 when I got to school, I feel like it wasn't a thing that everybody had Under Armour didn't even exist, but it wasn't one of those things where everybody had a contract, at least not that I recall. Maybe they did. Just thinking on basketball terms, like that was a big deal with the Flying Illini and everything. But I'd have to look that up because I don't remember it being a thing until the early 2000s of like the Nike contract and what the football uniforms look like and, you know, what they wanted to change it to.
Yeah, so. George McDonald Ashford, though, it was on George the jersey McDonald, at
I
one
can't
point
think of,
in time.
I mean, we got Jalen Coleman Lands on the basketball side, but I can't think of any dual last
still in college,
guys.
By the way.
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
Jack and threes.
Maybe we wrap up with score predictions. I know you're going to save yours here for your stream of consciousness, but I do have Mikey, who, as we know, is predicting an Illinois win.
Do you remember what he had when I laughed out loud when he said we were going to beat Penn State, what his score prediction was?
We'd have to go back and check the tape. It's in the episode, but I want to say it was...
I feel like he might have been very close.
I want to say it was... he said 21-17 or 20-17, and it was 20-18. I think it was 21-17 was his prediction.
Yeah, so he was off by one in each direction.
Yeah.
That was pretty damn good.
So...
Of course, then again, if he picks Illinois to win every week, then he's
usually not a winning strategy.
Yeah.
But he did pick Illinois to win, and he has a 24-17 Illinois victory up in Minneapolis. John, on the other hand,
what does Superman's son say?
Superman's son has
Clarky Kent.
You want to predict his prediction?
John is going to go Minnesota 31-21.
That's a pretty good guess. He has Minnesota 30-24.
So that's not bad.
Yeah.
He's going to be happy that I got so close to his guess.
And then, like we said earlier, I agree with you that the 14 and a half points feels about right. So I was going to kind of stick to that and just go Minnesota 27, Illinois 13. I don't think we're going to put up many points.
So if it's 14.5, then we're kind of maybe sort of covering.
We get that little hook
sliding in
on the right side of the half point.
Yeah.
So You don't have to tip your hand. I know you have your prediction. Yeah. So this is our teaser for you guys to go to IlliniBoard.com right now.
That's right. Yeah.
Read up on Robert's late night thoughts, unedited, unfiltered. He's probably going to go back and forth two or three times before he settles on his selection. But
as we talk this out here, I'll tell you that my brain did settle on one thing, and it's...
This is a safe space. This will be out after. We'll be out after you already put out your stream of consciousness. So if you want to divulge any of this, you know, secret info now, I don't know if that goes against any traditions and regulations, rules you may have in your own mind, but
yeah, I just
I'll allow it.
The score. Like I've done, I did Nebraska radio the day before the Nebraska game this year. And at the end,
do they ask
they,
you?
They're just like, "Hey, give us a prediction for tomorrow." I'm like,
"My rules say so that I'm not allowed to."
This thing, guys, where I don't want to. It's so stupid.
You can't put it out in the universe until at least.
Here's the thing. This is my little teaser. Here's the thing that popped into my head. We are pretty good at forcing fumbles. I mean, Hansen's injured, but we're still pretty good at forcing fumbles. And if they are down to freshman running backs, maybe that's a thing to watch tomorrow.
All right.
We're a pretty good punch-out team, and freshmen are known for not understanding how tightly they've got to grip that ball.
Teach them a lesson.
Yes. So that's my little thought that's starting to float around in my head of hope.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, we're still pretty good at punching the ball out, and they might be struggling against that.
And you got to think about the fact that one of their offensive linemen is 6'9", like 390 pounds. So for him to get down on a fumbled ball, we have that low center of gravity. I mean, I think Rod Perry gets on that ball before Daniel Falele gets on that ball.
And might I mention, we have a defender who has a giant club on his arm.
That's right. That's a weapon.
Which can be used as a weapon.
Legally.
To force the ball out.
Legally.
So over under Vegas, 2.5 forced fumbles. Which way are you going?
Ooh. So we're talking both sides combined.
No, just Illinois.
Oh. I mean, does one of those like sideline fumbles where it never really has a chance to remain in bounds, or like the QB's like reaching, does that count as a fumble in this world?
I mean, like if a QB like just drops the snap of a, you know, just like a, you know, he gets in between hands under and hands over to catch the snap and it falls to the ground and picks it up and throws, it's still a fumble.
And you said it's going to be 62 degrees?
62 degrees and sunny.
I think there will be 2, but I can't go over 2.5.
Okay, he's going under, folks.
There might be over 2.5 in the... I think there will be over 2.5 in the game. Maybe a 2-1 fumble situation. I think we give it away once. Maybe they give it away twice. Daniel Falele is too tall to get down on the ground and recover it, so it's where we...
You won't even see it throw up there. You won't even know there's a ball on the ground.
That's right.
You know, the other thing that... So that's the, like, positive. Like, you know, this could be that. The other thing is, like, I feel like we've got 3 duds in us this year, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Virginia was 1, Wisconsin was 2. Either Iowa or Minnesota is going to be 3. Like, one of these 2 road games.
Right.
Something's going to happen. It's going to fall apart fast. We know the season's over, and we're just kind of, we pack it in, and that, you know, it ends up 38-13 or something like that. So I hope it's not tomorrow. I think it's more likely Iowa than it is Minnesota, but it just feels like one of these last 2 games is going to be a, you know, bit of a disaster.
Does any part of you want Brandon Peters' helmet to come loose for just like one play so that Ryan Johnson gets to come in and run at least one snap as an Illinois quarterback?
I would love to see it. I just want to write the story in the stripe in Hardy's parking lot. You know, I mean, they're making a Kurt Warner movie right now. They're literally filming. Who's the guy playing him? It was weird. Oh, it's the guy from Chuck, that NBC show. I don't remember that guy's name, but he's Kurt Warner in this movie. They literally have him like stocking shelves at the Hy-Vee talking about his dreams in the trailer I saw. So I mean, why not?
Ryan Johnson.
Illinois version of that story. Ryan Johnson.
That would be just great.
You have him played by, I don't know who, we can figure out the actor later, but striping a Hardee's parking lot in South, or in Central Illinois, and decides to stop by the football offices, gets a walk-on offer, leads Illinois to a victory at Minnesota.
Next thing you know, it's a Warner Brothers movie, not a Kurt Warner movie.
That's right.
All right. So anything else to add to this? I don't know. Are we ready to go?
I'm going to sit down and do my SOC and sort out my thoughts and see, just figure it out as I write of how I feel about this one. But, you know, it's still, again, like everything feels kind of, you know, I had this season as 4-8. I think we're going to beat Northwestern and go 4-8, feel pretty good going into the offseason. You know, it feels like it's hitting all the notes it was going to hit in the first year. You know, mm-hmm. Two wins in Zook's first year, 0 wins in Turner's first year, 3 wins in Lovey's first year, 2 wins in Beckman's first year. 4 wins would be, hey, it's pretty good. 3 Big Ten wins would be really big.
Yep.
You know, it would be really good to start like that. And I think they can beat Northwestern to get to that and, you know, be right on schedule of, you know, how this thing should go. And unfortunately, if I'm saying that Northwestern is that last win, I'm saying that tomorrow is a loss.
I feel like it's one of those games tomorrow where no one's really expecting us to win again, just like Penn State. So it's like, go out there, play loose, have fun, see what happens. Maybe you get up early and then you're in that game and guys get excited on the sideline and you come to play again and just kind of beat a good team on the road like you did against Penn State. So,
if the media gets access to the field in the final 8 minutes and that happens, you will see me run sideline to sideline past
right.
DJ Fleck.
You're going to bring like a clip-on tie just in case that happens that you can just put on real quick?
I bring a quarter? No, I have a quarter zip, but I didn't bring it. Dang, I should have thought of that.
Still time tomorrow morning. Hit up the local Target.
Oh, God, I love it.
All right. Well, that will do it for this episode. Catch the Illini tomorrow, 11 a.m., ESPN2. Robert will be there, hate watching PJ Fleck running up and down the sideline. Number 20 Minnesota, 6-2 against your Fighting Illini, 3-6, trying to get another statement win on the road. So appreciate everyone for listening. Hopefully we have the whole crew back next episode with Mikey and John. You can find us on social media. We're at The Field Pass pretty much anywhere you can search. So YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, find us there. Thanks for sticking with us and go Illini.